What's up, weirdos? Welcome to another episode of Weird Honey, where we discuss all the things that make you, quote, weird, and have some conversations with some fellow weirdos on ways to improve our lives and be our best versions. I'm so happy to be sharing time with you. Thanks for tuning in. What is up, weirdos? And welcome back to another episode of your favorite podcast. It's Weird Honey. Finally back with the second episode, and not finally, because actually it's only been 1 week, and that's what we're doing, a 1 week cadence. And I bet some of y'all are super shocked that I'm back, and you probably thought that I was just pulling your leg last week when I said I'm gonna start doing Weird Honey again. And you probably thought, yeah, right, this girl is not about to give us another episode for another 2 years again. Well, psych, joke's on you, because here I am, and I've been so excited and looking forward to doing this episode and just getting back into it. Like I said last week, I am unemployed again for the fourth time in the past 4 years, which is so annoying, but gives me so much time to lean into my creative stuff and work on Weird Honey, because I owe y'all and because I owe myself. And I love doing this. So I was not about to just sit around and not do anything and not give y'all episodes. So hopefully these are good episodes and you guys get something from them. As always, that's the goal, to help you live a better life or a more educated and informed life. And just, you know, be the best. Every day, be better. So today, the topic that I decided I wanted to chat with you guys about is topical steroid withdrawal. And the reason that I'm talking about this, because I know it's very niche and it's not going to pertain to my entire audience, I wanted to talk about this because it's what I've been going through for the past 9.5, 10 months now, and what so many other people go through and maybe aren't realizing that's what they're dealing with, or it could help someone avoid going through this awful, awful thing. Because it can happen to literally anyone. It can happen from freaking using hydrocortisone cream like 2 times. It really can happen to anyone. And I had no idea that this was a thing until I experienced it. And thank God for TikTok. Government, if you get rid of effing TikTok, you guys are the literal worst, because it can literally save people's lives and help people just stay connected and informed. And without TikTok, without the TSW community on TikTok, I would have continued down a path of getting worse and not understanding what the F my body was doing. And I probably would have kept using steroids that I should not have been using, and then only making it worse. And eventually they would not have worked at all. And it just would have been disgusting. It already is pretty gross and annoying. But anywho, I am going to kind of explain what TSW is, things to look for, ways to cope with and manage it as you heal from it, and then also resources that you can utilize on your own journey to figure out what's going to be best for you. So topical steroid withdrawal is also known as red skin syndrome, and what it is basically your immune system attacking your skin. Your skin doesn't know how to properly function anymore because it's become reliant on the steroids, and you can use the steroids at minimum, like a little amount. You can use them a lot. It really depends on your body and how it reacts, and you can use them in one localized spot or all over. And even like for me example, I used it in one localized spot on my face and I still ended up with TSW all over my body. That's just how it works. It's not gonna just be withdrawal in one isolated area. It will affect your whole body, essentially. I will say it did get my stomach and legs for a little bit, but that healed up really quickly. I know there are some who have it all over and it's lasted longer, but mostly it will affect your arms and your neck and face. So typically, It happens from using steroids that are either too strong for you or used in places they shouldn't be. Again, for my example, I found out that after using a steroid in one place on my face for about 10 years, that the steroid was in fact not meant for your face, and it was way too strong, and it effed me up. But like I said, it can also happen to people. They could use hydrocortisone for literally like two times. And basically it thins your skin out. Like steroids work to thin your skin out, and your body can become reliant on them because it thinks it needs them in order to properly function and not be inflamed. When you take that steroid away and your body gets into a withdrawal state, your body is super inflamed because it doesn't have that steroid to push the inflammation down. And you may not have, figured out what the source of your eczema was in the first place, and that's why you were using steroids. And so that inflammation is extra intense because it's a withdrawal inflammation, and then the source of your eczema or whatever issue you had is still not resolved, so you're just full of inflammation, which enhances TSW so freaking much. So it basically just attacks your skin. Your skin has to go through these cyclical flares where it will essentially, you'll start seeing like little red patches. At first, you might think it's eczema or just dry skin patches that are kind of itchy on your arms, and then these spots kind of flare. You may see hives. I saw hives. I became super sensitive to a ton of skin ingredients. I did allergy testing and developed a ton of allergies to things that I have used my whole life, and can no longer use because my skin was so damaged. But essentially, your skin barrier is so broken down from needing the steroids that it then has to go through these, like I said, cyclical flares where you'll be super red and inflamed. You'll see those little patches that basically turn into full arm sleeves up to like your mid-arm, almost to your shoulders, and then your neck, face, sometimes your stomach and legs, like I said, can be affected, but they'll get red patches that turn into just full-on covered red inflamed areas to where at one point, like my arms didn't like from my hands to my wrists, I saw this bright red line, and then from that line up to my shoulders, it was just red. Then my shoulders were normal, and then when you get to my neck and like halfway to my down to my collarbone, it was just red and inflamed. It's unlike anything I've ever seen before or experienced. It's super uncomfortable. But you get it when you're in the red and inflamed state, you will start weeping. Your skin will weep. This is so gross, guys. So if this gets to be too much, please don't tune in because it's graphic. But I want to be very transparent to hopefully help someone who might be going through this or seeing early signs or who may be using steroids and decide, like, I don't want to go through this. Anyway, sorry if it's graphic. But when you're in the red inflamed state, you will start seeing oozing and weeping from your skin because your skin is so thin and inflamed and just raw and you have no barrier. So you're just gonna see like weeping. It's not infection. It's literally just like clear oozing. And that also happens when you're repeatedly scratching because it's the itchiest thing you have ever felt and you cannot help but to scratch, especially in your sleep. I highly recommend purchasing gloves or some kind of mittens or putting socks on your hands while you sleep. I did that. It didn't super help because I was still digging to my skin when I was sleeping. But anyway, you get these weeps. The things that I found that work for the weeping phase are Dome Boro. They're like salt wraps. So you get gauze and then you get these salt wraps and it's like a powder packet and you put the powder in water and then you dip the gauze in the water and then you wrap the areas that are weeping in that solution soaked gauze, I guess. So you use that. Some people think that zinc, like diaper rash cream, like just pure zinc cream works really well. But I think it'll help with the weeping, but it's very annoying because it's so thick that you cannot wash it off easily. And the last thing you want to be doing is further damaging your skin barrier and like scrubbing something off. So I didn't quite agree with the zinc because I felt like it was more damaging to try to wash it off than it was to help with the weeping. Another great option is ice packs. Those are going to be your best friends. Like, I literally would sleep on ice packs and like try to wrap them around myself in spots that I was really inflamed and oozing. Like, the folds of my arms were really bad. My neck, my face, like my eyes. That's a whole other story. We'll get into that. But ice packs are going to be your best friend to get through the weeping phase. And then, like I said, those Dome Boro wraps. Sometimes dead sea salt can help, but it's gonna burn really bad. And I kind of don't recommend that in the oozing stage. I would more so use that in the flaking stage, which we'll get to next. But in my oozing stages, I found that the dead sea salt burnt too bad, and I literally could not do it. Just because it kind of made it worse and it didn't help really with the drying it out. I think the Dome Borrow did better, and it is a salt solution, but it's different than Dead Sea Salt. Also, the Dome Borrow wraps don't burn at all, so that's really nice. Also recommend getting a good red light lamp, whether it's a full lamp or like a single panel. The masks are cool, but I feel like having a panel or a light is better because you can also hit your arms and the rest of your body. So that really helped me with the inflammation in the weeping phase. And then wrapping at night when you are super oozy, getting enough gauze or just like general like wraps that you'd use if you had like a wound or something, just wrapping yourself up helps a lot to keep your oozing at bay or at minimum and absorb into something, so you're not like, this is gross, but oozing through your clothes. And it helps you to protect your skin from when you're itching so much, because the itching at night or in the day is no joke. After you get through a weeping stage, you are then going to start drying up, and it's gonna stay itchy, but you're gonna get really flaky. And then you're gonna see a lot of like dead skin flaking off, like so much, it's insane. I'm not talking like a little bit of dandruff flaky, it's like you're shedding your whole body. It's effing insane. So invest in some exfoliating, like gentle exfoliating gloves, or like a good mitt or a good dry brushing. Dry brushing is really good because it also helps move your lymphatic system. And what we want to focus on while we're getting through TSW is also the source, which we'll get into that later also, but the source of what was causing your eczema or issues in the first place that you needed the steroids. And a lot of the time it's because our bodies are holding on to toxins and things that we don't need, and our livers are not properly functioning. And therefore, if our livers are not functioning, that means our guts are not functioning, and we need to be ridding ourselves of toxins. So dry brushing is really great for exfoliating in those flaky stages, but also for keeping your lymphatic system moving and getting those toxins to start draining and releasing out of your system, so that you're also getting to the source of whatever's causing your body to be so imbalanced. So you'll get through your flaking stage, and then you may start feeling like you're healing up a little bit, like, okay, I'm riding this wave, I'm doing good. Psych. You keep going through these cycles, because then you're gonna start getting red and inflamed and weepy again. It may not be as intense, or it could be more intense. It kind of depends on where you are in the journey. When I first started getting the little patches of red and then getting little weepy spots, it obviously progressed from little patches to full-on sleeves to my body being covered and just being itchy and raw and weepy. And then after a while, the flares kind of would get less and less. So now I don't have full body weeping anymore. It's isolated to my insides of my arms, like the folds of my arms, and then my neck a little bit, but it's not really, it's just not as intense as it was. But mind you, I'm 10 months in now, so it definitely gets better. But you will continue to go through these cycles of red and inflamed, weeping, flaking off, and thinking you're healing up a little bit, and then having, you know, more issues. It'll keep going, and then after you get through the worst of the flares, usually, I mean, it's going to eventually start to get better. It's just riding out those waves. So when we want to start looking at the source of what caused us to use steroids in the first place, that's also going to help you get through these flares, is you immediately want to reduce inflammation in your body, because inflammation is like the main part of TSW. Your body's so inflamed and your skin is super thin. You do not want to put a lot of lotion on, because when you put lotion on, it keeps your body in an inflamed state. So it irritates, it burns. It's going to keep your skin from fully healing properly, because at this point you're not dealing with dry skin, you guys. It's not something you can just slap an ointment on. It's something that needs to self-heal. Like, self-healing is the biggest cure, not cure, but I mean, it is a cure for TSW, like, to just leave yourself alone. There are not a lot of things that I would recommend product-wise that really helped to get through this so far, because it is such a leave it alone, it's gonna have to heal itself kind of situation. So lotion, not great, because it will keep you inflamed. After you get to a certain point of your flares and you're in like your flake portion of a flare, you will want to put some lotion or balm on in certain areas, especially like your hands, your face, your neck. I had to put stuff on those areas because my hands got so like cracked and and bloody, honestly. Like, it's so gross, but they were like bleeding around my wrists. They're still kind of a problem area for me. My hands are still pretty bad. My wrists mostly, but my hands in general, they're doing better. I will say the balms help in those, like I said, the flaky stages. So I recommend this Orwell's Natural Balm, or there's like a Balmond, like Balmonds on Amazon. And they are like, they're essentially salves. They're not really technically balms, but they're like salves of olive oil and I think beeswax maybe, and like a few other things that are really gentle and healing. There's also a similar thing. It's the My Magic Healer. It's another like balm salve situation. It's a Canadian-based brand that uses propolis as one of the main healing proponents. And if you're not familiar with propolis, it is basically nature's medicine to everything. It's a really, really good thing. It is a bee product, so if you're allergic to bees like I am, probably not the best option, but their success stories on TikTok are insane, and I have used it sparingly, and it does help in those places on my wrists where it's like really cracked and just terrible. I would also say the Eczema Honey brand. I've tried everything, you guys, so if you have any specific requests, please reach out, because I've literally tried almost any skincare thing you can think of throughout this whole thing. But the Eczema Honey brand, I will say I wasn't a fan of a lot of their things, but their nut-free balm was very helpful when I was really dry and I could use it on my hands for super dry, itchy spots. It helped with the itch some, and it did help heal the cracked open areas. You do want to make sure you're keeping an eye on the cracked open areas, because even though we can't like over moisturize and we're gonna have to be crusty, you can develop infections easily, which I learned because everyone, or the way that this is described to me, I guess, and I'm not a medical professional, so please don't just take all of this with a grain of salt. This is just experience. But everyone has, under a certain layer of skin, when you get a certain layer of skin, there is this bacteria, Staph aureus, that becomes, when it's exposed, it becomes an infection in your skin. So when you're constantly scratching and you're getting like any kind of other foreign bacteria in your skin, you're getting down to that layer, that Staph aureus becomes an active infection, and you will get Staph on your infected areas, and it will spread fast if you do not get to the doctor and start taking antibiotics. You guys know I hate taking medicine. I don't want to take antibiotics. I just don't want to do that kind of thing, because it messes with your gut so bad and we're already imbalanced. But it's necessary. You're going to have to bite the bullet on that one and just take the antibiotics, because you do not want those infections to get more intense, because then it's going to be even harder to deal with. And Staph can become resistant, and then you'll get MRSA, which is a resistant to antibiotic kind of strand of Staph. And that's like impossible to cure. You can cure it, but it's like really hard to treat. So just be mindful. One of the key treatments, I feel like I'm all over the place and I'm sorry. One of the key treatments for topical steroid withdrawal, like I said, is to leave it alone. This is also called no moisture treatment or no moisture therapy, where people will not do any type of moisture at all. They'll try to prolong showers or only do spot baths for a month or two at a time to kind of let their skin not have any water, no moisture, nothing is absorbed into the skin, so it can go through those cyclical flares and cycle itself out into healing. There are certain ways you can kind of edit that therapy, and you can go full in, or you can, you know, do minor parts of it. I did a really minor, like light no moisture therapy for myself. So like every other month or so, I would try to stop doing any kind of lotion or anything, and I would only shower, like take full showers like every other day or every other 2 days, but I would still spot bathe in between, which sounds gross, but mind you, I'm in the house working from home. I'm not going out and working. I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm literally just in the house, so it was easier for me to do that. For some, that's just not going to happen. Like, it's going to be too hard to do. But I found that the no moisture therapy really helped get me through some of the worst flares I had, because it helped me get out of that inflamed weepy state, and it helps your skin dry up and do what it needs to do to start closing up the weepy areas and cycle itself out into fully new skin. So by the end of TSW, you should have like baby soft skin, because you're going to have totally new skin all over, because you've cycled out of your skin so many times, which sounds crazy. It's a very transformative experience. I will say that it's very humbling because you look crazy. You don't want to leave. And when you do get to a point of like, I need to get out of the house, you don't care anymore. You go out looking like you don't recognize yourself, but you get a different level of, I don't know, just humility out of it that you've never had before. Like, it has humbled me so much. And also just like, I have a different level of confidence in myself to be able to go out when I'm feeling the worst and looking so like, I know I look crazy to people, but it's like, I still need to live life. Life still goes on and I cannot let this take away my life. It's taken so much of my time already. Like, I need to get out and do stuff. So that part is a, like, the mental part of TSW is a whole other thing that I feel like is overlooked, and we can get into that in a minute. But no moisture therapy, super helpful. But again, back to the infections, it's very easy to get infected. I have gone on antibiotics 2 times now from getting infections from scratching my skin too deep and traveling, because I had to travel for a work trip, and then I traveled home to Kansas City, and I freaking, from flying or whatever, being around other bacterias, I freaking got infected. And it was the worst thing, because it's, this last round has been so hard to heal because I got an infection like on my neck. And it's literally the worst thing. Like, I have these spots on my neck that will not heal. It's so gross and so ugly. So just be very aware that you're checking in with your dermatologist and making sure that if you are going to do no moisture therapy or just going through TSW in general, that you're checking for infections and keeping yourself still really clean. And even if you're doing that, you can still catch anything because of the bacteria being so exposed. But just keep that in mind to keep asking for that. Do not let your derm give you more steroids either, because they need to be very on par with your healing plan and to understand that you do not want steroids, because that's what got you into this in the first place. If you unfortunately do get an infection, I would recommend asking your doctor for mupirocin ointment. It's an antibiotic ointment that will help clear up that infection pretty quickly. Also, I can't take penicillins, but I did do doxycycline 10 milligram. Also, Bactrim or clindamycin are good if you have a really resistant staph, but talk to your derm because they're gonna know. I do not know. We can jump gears now, get into the medicines that you can use when you're going through TSW, or at least the ones that I'm familiar with. Number one is gonna be Dupixent, which is an injection, and you can do that in your leg, stomach, or arm. And that has been very, very helpful for a lot of people. So what Dupixent does is it works to inhibit a certain cell function that causes or reacts and causes inflammation. It's also really good if you have asthma. So it will help it. A lot of people that have asthma take it and it manages their asthma, but it is a shot that you have to give yourself every 2 weeks. And I will tell you, it hurt. Like, I have a very high pain tolerance. That injection is not like anything I can describe. The pain is so effing bad. Literally, you get 2 loading doses when you go to your derm and they start you on it. So they did 1 in each leg, and I almost passed out on the first shot because it was so bad. And it's like a delay release, so you sit there and you're waiting for it to finish, and after it clicks, after 10 seconds, you've got to wait another 5 seconds to make sure that it's all out. And it is the longest 15 seconds of your life. I swear to God, I can't believe I didn't pass out because it was so bad, and I'm terrified of needles, so that didn't help. But like, at this point, any other kind of shot like is nothing. Like, nothing compares to the pain of a Dupixent shot. It's the worst. And fun fact, it did not help me. So just a disclaimer, the side effects of Dupixent are super intense. If you have an adverse reaction to it, it can cause severe facial swelling, specifically in the eyes and the throat, and then you can get these red patches on your face that they don't really know what they are. They just cause these weird red patches on your face, and your eyes will swell up and look like you were punched by an MMA fighter in both eyes. That's what I looked like after I did it. My eyes were red, like super, super red, and looked like they were so swollen, and my throat closed up. I had to go to the ER. It was the absolute worst. But Dupixent will do that. So I would talk to your doctor first and monitor yourself closely after your loading doses if you decide to go that route. And if you see any kind of redness in your face at all, that's your first sign that you're having a reaction. Don't use it. I didn't have that severe reaction until I did my dose at home 2 weeks later. So I did the two doses at the doctor. My eyes were a little red, but no severe swelling or anything. When I did my dose at home, it was my second dose at home. I did the first dose at home, I kind of got red, but it was like, eh, it's just the TSW. The second dose I did at home, so it would have been my fourth dose. It was insane. It was the worst thing ever. And then after I stopped the Dupixent immediately, every 2 weeks for about 2 months after that, I would have these facial swell-ups and flares that were so intense. And then it phases out. It takes about 4 to 6 months to exit your body for your cells to re-regulate. So on top of TSW, my body's also re-regulating from the Dupixent. So it took, it was every 2 weeks. Then after 2 months, it was a 4 week span between a flare. And then after the 4 week span, it went to a 6 week span. And I'm 5 months off Dupixent now. And knock on wood, I'm 4 weeks out from my last flare. So I'm hoping that that continues they've gotten less intense each time. So I'm hoping that that continues to just improve. And I'm, off of that, like completely, it's out of my system. But just a fair warning, with Dupixent, that is a side effect, and you want to be very aware when you're working with your doctor on that. But for the people that it does work for, what it does is when it inhibits that inflammation, it keeps your body from being in that inflamed state, so it doesn't stop the TSW necessarily. And I don't know the science behind this, because this happens with all of the medicines I'm going to talk to you about, but it will basically keep your TSW symptoms at bay. Like, your skin won't go through the TSW visibly and you won't feel it. It will still be regulating and getting used to not having the steroids, but your immune system will slow down on attacking itself when you take these medicines, or you won't have the inflammation receptor going on. So you're not going to see the symptoms, and it's going to get you through TSW looking like a normal person. It's like magic. I don't exactly understand the science behind that. I probably should have researched it more. But for me, the Dupixent did not help with my symptoms either. I was still going through TSW, so it really didn't do me any good. The next thing is immunosuppressants like cyclosporin. And there's another one, but I can't remember the name of it. But cyclosporin is a popular one. It is an immunosuppressant. So if you have any type of autoimmune disease, it's not going to be a good option for you. You definitely want to chat with your doctor first, because it will put you at a higher risk of getting infections and getting sick, because you're stopping your immune system from overworking basically, and lowering it so that your body can get a break from its self-attacking itself in TSW, and your skin can calm down and that inflammation goes away and your skin can heal. People will do that. They start off, at a pretty high dose and then kind of cycle off of cyclosporin. I've seen some people on TikTok that have used it, and they've done it for like a year, which is a long time, but I mean, TSW is typically a year to 2 year kind of process, sometimes longer. But anyway, so people have done the cyclosporin. It's worked really great for them. And then you like wean yourself off of that slowly. You may have a slight flare when you get off of it, but it's not going to be what it would be if you were to have done steroids and then stopped them again and then have another big flare and continue to go through TSW all over again. So it's not like that. It's just a little flare of like your body, okay, I'm back to myself now, and I'm going to regulate after this little bit of flare after the medicine, and I'm good now. I'm good because I'm not in TSW state. The next medicine that I am aware of that I am considering starting next week is Rinvoq. And Rinvoq is, I believe Rinvoq is a JAK inhibitor or similar. Either that or Dupixent's a JAK inhibitor. I can't remember, but basically, it's another form of medicine that is not an immunosuppressant, but it doesn't do the same thing Dupixent does. It's not as invasive. It's a little, I don't know how to explain it, because again, I'm not a medical professional, but it's just another option to help your skin regulate. It's an eczema specific medicine, and also for rheumatoid arthritis. So it is an inflammation drug, like it's an anti-inflammatory basically. So it will keep your body, again, out of that inflamed state so that your skin can heal and regulate itself again, and get accustomed to being in a regulated state, and it will heal you out. So it's not going to suppress things like a steroid does, to where you become reliant on it, and when you stop it, you are back to square one, it helps wean you off of the TSW. So you'll also start with your doses and then wean down on slower doses of that if your goal is to get off of it. That's really all the medicines that I'm aware of. This brings us back to the root cause kind of thing. Once you're off the Rinvoq or Cyclosporine, whatever it is that you're doing, if your goal is to get off of that and you don't feel that that's something you're going to need long term because your eczema or whatever it wasn't that bad in the first place, or you just don't want to be on any medicine anymore, you just want to get through TSW, then you're going to want to figure out what the root cause is and start addressing that. So for me, and I'll just, for everyone really, the main things that you want to do, gluten, dairy, eggs, cut them out. Sugar, cut them out. Those are the most inflammatory things that you can put in your body, and they cause so many issues, and they're huge. Well, at least gluten is a huge gut disruptor, and unless you're drinking raw milk, I don't see any point in drinking milk from the store or eating disgusting eggs from the store. Farm fresh eggs, different situation. If you're getting them literally right from a farm, depending on how your chickens are raised, all that good stuff. But eggs from the store are effing disgusting. Look it up. It's gross. But I would just be very aware of the way that you're eating, the way that you're just nourishing your body. I will say when I first started off, I took so many supplements. I was like, oh, I'm going to take this, this, and this. I think I was like doing zinc. I'm really anemic. So I was like, I'm going to start taking iron again. And I was like taking an iron vitamin C capsule. I was taking, what else did I take? Oh, I did rhodiola because I was trying to manage my stress. I was taking Armra, which I still take. I love Armra colostrum. That is amazing. And I'll talk about that in another episode if we want to like get into supplements. But I was just on so many different things. I was trying all the trends that I thought were going to help heal me. But I just didn't fully understand at the time, like, with topical steroid withdrawal, you really have to just get your body to like regulate itself. But you can start introducing it one at a time to try to figure out what supplements do help you. And those are going to help get to the root cause of your inflammation and regulate yourself again. So like any kind of liver support stuff too, because your liver probably isn't functioning properly if you were dealing with eczema, and you need that to function in order for your gut to function. Because if your gut's not functioning, your liver can't detox the way that it needs to. So for me, gut issues were a huge part of why I was having issues in the first place. And my liver therefore wasn't releasing toxins. So I started, you know, introducing dry brushing, tons of lymphatic drainage, ice rolling my face is super helpful. You guys know I love the Skinny Confidentials ice roller. I've been using that for the past like 3 years now since she launched that. That's been a game changer during the TSW journey. What else? Just anything that is nurturing and relaxing, because stress is a huge part of it, which this kind of bleeds into the mental health aspect of TSW that a lot of people don't understand how taxing it is on you mentally, because you are physically so uncomfortable. Your body cannot regulate temperature when you're in the weeping stage, so then you're not sleeping. Like, I would not sleep at all. You'd start to fall asleep and then you'd wake up and you'd feel like, oh, I have to go change, or I have to, like, something has to happen. I need to cool down. Like, my body is so hot and so oozy and just, it's terrible. So you're not sleeping. Your stress is insane. Like, your cortisol is out the roof. Everything's so imbalanced. And mentally, you're just drained because you're having insomnia and you feel disgusting. You are itchy, uncomfortable. You don't feel like you can even recognize yourself. You don't want to go out in public. It completely takes your life a different direction. Like, it's so isolating and terrible. And I just sound like I'm getting emotional. I'm just passionate about this because it's been the worst past 10 months of my life. But it's the mental part of it is intense. And to make sure that you're nourishing properly and de-stressing is huge during the process of healing. So grounding was really good. Getting outside in the sunshine. Sunshine is not good when you're in a weepy state. Let me just reiterate that. There are certain points where you don't want to be in the sun, because when you're too red and inflamed, it's going to just make it that much worse. You don't want to add more heat. But once you start to get to like a better cycling phase, then you can start getting out in the sun. So I would say for like the first 3 or 4 months, if I went out in the sun, it would make my weepy phases worse and I'd get super inflamed and itchy. But once they started to calm down and not be as intense, I could go out in the sun and it started helping. So walks in the sun, wear a hat, wear sunglasses if you don't want people to see you. But try to get outside some and get some air and go on walks and meditate, breathe, do yoga where you can. I know physical activity is very hard and very limited when you're going through this because you don't want to move around too much and stretch your skin, especially when you're weepy or cracked. It can be really difficult, but gentle yoga where you just lay down on your mat and kind of do like a few subtle movements to just get some movement in your body is really important. Drinking tons of water. Some people will argue that's not good, especially if you're doing no moisture treatment, because the amount of water you drink can also affect that balance. But I found that drinking lots of water was really helpful. I like to add lemon to my water. I think that's really good for your gut. Also doing shots of apple cider vinegar, water, lemon, and honey in the morning are really helpful. The Armour colostrum I talked about is really good to help with your gut health and keep that stuff moving. And then when you're keeping that stuff moving and you're feeling just nourished and healthy, fresh juices are really good. It then in turn helps your mental health, finding new ways to keep yourself occupied because you're in the house a lot. So being gentle on yourself, maybe journaling more, you know, what you're doing every day differently, just whatever is working for you in your healing journey, documenting that and taking it literally one day at a time and being okay to have days where you feel like you can't, you just got to break down, right? Like you want to cry and you don't feel like doing anything and you just want to have like a dry rot day. Have those, give yourself that space because what you're going through is insane and indescribable. So mental health is super important during this. Do what you can to help nourish and take care of that part of it while you're healing your body. It's a process. Like I said, it's a day-by-day thing. Every day's different. You may have moments where you're doing so good and you think you're on the mend, and then you have days where you regress and it gets bad again. I know I've had tons of those where I felt like, oh, I'm doing a lot better. And then I'll have a day where I wake up and I'm super red out of nowhere. And I'm like, are you effing kidding me? We're doing this again. Like it's a never ending thing. What is ending? It will end and you will get through it. I'm going to get through it. That's what I keep telling myself. Like eventually it's going to be better. It's just really tough. So I would also recommend for mental health support, get on TikTok and look at the TSW community. There are a ton of creators who have been so helpful in explaining things and more bite-sized, you know, digestible pieces than this podcast is probably going to be. They're very open with sharing their journey and you can kind of see, you know, what their skin's been looking like, how it's healing, things that they're doing. A lot of creators are going to Tulum. There's this one creator who started a community in Tulum and you can like go stay there for a month or two or whatever at a time and pay for, you know, to stay at her Airbnb. Like you get your own Airbnb space and in this like boutique hotel, I think is what it is. And you go there for her healing retreat and she helps you, you know, share what she's been doing to heal hers. And she's like almost fully healed or fully healed, but helps you through. And I know there were points where I was like, I really kind of want to do this, but my job was not like, there was no way I was going to be able to get away from work because it was so chaotic, which is a whole other can of worms because that also stressed me out so much. And I was on burnout from that in life. And I low key am like, it sucks that I lost my job, but I'm also kind of grateful because I feel like I've done so much healing in the past 2 weeks just from not having that stress than I did while I was working and not having time to just like be at peace and focus on my health. But anyway, I think if you have the capacity to go to Tulum or go somewhere where the climate is humid and you can get in the ocean and reset and really like de-stress and focus on healing, I think that's amazing. It's been really beneficial for most of the creators that I've seen go and do that. But TikTok community for TSW has been a lifesaver for me. Like I said at the beginning, it's what helped me even know that I was going through TSW in the first place because I didn't know it was a thing. I knew that I didn't want to use steroids anymore. And I decided that a couple years ago because I was like, why am I using steroids? Like this doesn't feel right. And you guys know I'm, you know, super clean, like with my wellness journey and just the way that I like to take care of myself. I don't want to put anything in my body. And so when I was, or on it, and I was like, why am I using these? So I started trying to stop using them. And that's when I started getting worse flares. And at the time I didn't realize that I was going into topical steroid withdrawal. So don't use steroids is the moral of the story. Don't use effing steroids. Come to find out, my dermatologist, who's amazing, by the way, If you want their information and you're in Houston, reach out to me and I'll give it to you if I feel like I'm safe enough to give it to you. But she was like, why were you using that on your face? That's not a face steroid in the first place. She's like, no wonder. And I'm like, well, that's great, because I've been using it for the past 10 years, thanks to my PCPs along the way who just wrote a prescription. So yeah, be very aware. Don't use steroids. I hope this is helpful to teach you or inform you that they're the worst thing ever. And topical steroid withdrawal is a real thing. Modern medicine can hurt you sometimes. It's not always the answer. I'm not saying I'm against modern medicine at all. I definitely believe in it. I think there are times that, obviously you need it. Like, there's no arguing that you need it. But in this situation, when it comes to prescribing steroids or things that blanket cover something and don't find the source of the fire, that's not okay with me. Always try to figure out what the source is. So we talked about, you know, like the source of TSW, or not TSW, but the source of what was causing you to need to use those steroids in the first place. Figure out what you can do to prevent that or heal that. Heal from the inside out. Go to a functional medicine doctor and do testing, or do like GI testing, and see like where your imbalances are and what's off and what you need to be doing differently. If it's a diet change, if it's adding certain supplements in or herbs for a short amount of time. I highly recommend, before you do any of that you do get allergy testing done, whether it's skin allergies or food allergies or just environmental, so you know kind of what you're working with before you start jumping into any protocols that may be prescribed by a functional or holistic doctor, or that you just self-prescribe. Because allergies change, and especially during TSW, you never know what's gonna set you off. And then I would say again, the Armbrook colostrum, if you have any kind of autoimmune or anything in general, like, that you want to work on, it's like a cure-all. That and CMOS are two things I swear by and will not remove from my routine, because I think they're absolutely amazing. But yeah, this got really long, and I probably missed a lot of stuff that I should have talked about. I probably rambled on about a lot of stuff I shouldn't have. And again, I'm not a doctor, so please, like I said, take all of this with a grain of salt, because I don't medically know what I'm talking about. But if we're just, you know, just hanging out friend to friend, we're chit-chatting, and I'm telling you about my experience, take from that what you will and do with that information what you will to maybe help yourself. If I could go around the world screaming don't use effing steroids, then I would, because I think that's a fair statement to make, whether you're a medical professional or not. Steroids mess you up. Last but not least, I wanted to throw in a couple of links for you guys if you wanted to look at a more official informational guide about all of this. You can go to itsan.org, and you can also go to tswassist.com. Those are two really good resources that go in depth and are more medically accurate than probably some of the things that I've said. So definitely check those out. As always, thank you guys for tuning in and spending time with me. I hope that this episode has brought some value and insight into your lives, and I hope that it's been helpful, if not for you, then for someone that you love. Please don't be shy and share and like this episode, or whatever it is you can do in the world to help support Weird Honey, and I will talk to you guys next week. Okay, love you, bye!